welcome to the Northern Affinity Podcast. My name is Michael Edwards, and I am the host of the podcast and the founder of Northern Affinity. So I set the Northern Affinity up to bring together a community of business professionals and give them the platform they deserve to demonstrate their amazing skills, talents, and experience. And in this podcast and in the second series, we will speak to those people about three different areas. We will speak to them about collaboration, we'll speak to them about values, and we'll speak to them about aspirations. We will hear what these three things mean to our guests, how it drives them in what they do, and what role those three things play on a day-to-day basis. We hope you enjoy this episode. So I'm delighted to say that on today's podcast, we are joined by Jeff Dunn from Spencer Hayes. So welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Thanks, mate. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, fantastic. So before we go on to the subject areas today, before we talk about collaboration, values, and a bit about aspirations, do you want to just explain who you are and what you do? Now, for people obviously listening to the podcast, you can't see this, but I'm on Zoom with Jeff, and I can see in the background, he's got a big sign saying, "Hi, I love insurance." So that gives you a little bit of hint into who Jeff is, but I'll let him tell you all about who he is and what he does. So over to you, Jeff.
Okay, this is probably the bit that your guests probably like doing least, Mike, just talking about yourself. So hi, I'm Jeff Dunn. I am an independent commercial insurance broker. And what that means is that I can offer independent consultation and advice to firms of any size. So my smallest client typically is a sole trader, and my largest client is a 25 million turnover business with about 250 staff and anywhere in between. My sweet spot is businesses with probably 10 or more staff. I live in Marsden. For those of you that don't know, Marsden is right on the West Yorkshire Lancs border near Saddleworth Moor, where Myra and Ian buried all the bodies, apparently. My partner is Helen. We have three dogs. I've got a great sense of humour. I'm no stranger to alcohol. love live music. And my guilty pleasure together with Helen is karaoke. So we've not seen enough of that over the last 16 months, I'm afraid.
It's amazing, Jeff, how you can get so many different things into about 30 seconds there about describing yourself, but that's great. And for anyone who knows it, Jeff, that he mentions karaoke a lot. I think you're really missing that in the last year and a half or so, aren't you, Jeff?
Well, first secret to give away today, Mike, is if you said to me you have to make a life choice, and the life choice is you can never, ever have alcohol ever again, or you can't sing again, I would be giving up alcohol.
Well,
music's my happy place.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, we'll find out more about Jeff as we go through the questions. And you know, I know these things we're going to talk about are things that Jeff will know about and big in his life and work and everything like that. So I'm going to start with collaboration, Jeff. So what do you see collaboration as? What is it? You know, what does it mean to you?
Okay, so to me, there's three or four sorts of collaboration. There's the personal level as we go through day-to-day life, and there's also business collaboration. I would probably say that if somebody was asked about me, they would say that I'm a good collaborator in terms of offering up ideas, yep, help, support, things like that. And I'd like to think that they would say that out of work as well. I'm a giver rather than a taker. And I think that's one of the important ingredients of any collaboration, that you need to offer up without necessarily seeking to immediately have something back. I think that's key.
No, I think it's a great point, Jeff. You know, I've said this on a few other of the podcasts, actually. I am a big believer that collaboration is more of a mindset than an action. It's more about how you live everything. So interesting you mentioned there, like personal life and work. Well, I think if you're probably good in personal, you're probably good in business, and obviously vice versa. I think the two do go hand in hand. It's kind of the way you approach everything, and it comes out in collaboration. Does that make sense?
Mike, it does. I'm 100% person. What I mean by that is if I'm committed to you, your idea, your group's idea, your company's idea, our little enclave of two or three people working together on a project, whatever it is, if I'm committed to it, you get 100% of me.
I speak from experience and agree with that 100%, Jeff. I don't doubt anyone who's encountered yourself would say the same. So in terms of collaboration, do you want to give some maybe good examples of collaboration where it's either worked well for you or maybe not worked well as well, kind of things that you've done?
Yes, probably on the edges of a collaboration of sorts, which is at local level. I live in Marsden, which is at the end of the Corn Valley.
Yep.
And you pass about five or six villages on the way into Huddersfield. And I noticed that people aren't spending money in Corn Valley. They spend it online with Amazon, or they perhaps go into Huddersfield, Manchester or Leeds. So together with about four or five other people in the area, I founded and started the Corn Valley Business Network.
Brilliant.
And the aims of it's a non-profit organization. And what this aims to do is nothing more than promoting every single business that's on that drag between Marsden and getting into Huddersfield, probably stopping at a place called Thornton Lodge.
Okay.
Just to put that in 3D for you, mate, say I wanted to buy three reams of paper. I'd probably go online for that. I'd go to Staples or something like that. However, if I went 2 miles from my house to a place called Milnes Bridge, just off Manchester Road, there's a stationer's there who could sell me the paper at the same price I can get online. I just have to go and get it. To me, for sure, people would go, oh, yeah, but you've burnt petrol going that 2 miles. And that's a life choice, isn't it? I could go on my bicycle and then I wasn't, you know, burning the petrol. But seriously, the keeping the money in the valley is something I'm passionate about. And so really, that's a collaboration of businesses right throughout the Corn Valley area. And the other thing, the other two things I'd quickly like to mention is I went recently to my local high school, Corn Valley High School, and did some interview practice for year 11s.
Amazing, yeah, that's great.
And my view of people of that age are they're all chavs who are probably taking their Class B drugs and hanging around parks drinking cider. Well, do you know what? I used to hang around parks drinking cider. I didn't do Class B drugs, but I was banging my music out, probably annoying everyone to death. Now, the five students I saw were incredibly driven. I had one person there, believe it or not, he had his own car valeting business, even though he was in year 11, which is so successful, he's employing somebody full-time, even though he himself is a year 11 student.
Brilliant.
He works part-time in an Italian restaurant, and he's going to join the police force. He's not thinking about joining the police force. He is going to join the police force. And the other four people were just so driven. It's amazing. It actually altered my view of the youth. And the reason I'm mentioning this as a form of collaboration is this is an offshoot of the Corn Valley Business Network, because we see the school as a business in our community. So we didn't want to exclude them. So forgive me, but that's why I mentioned them. The last collaboration I'd like to quickly mention is that I'm very excited about a new collaboration that I'm forming with an outfit called Bellingham IT.
Okay.
They are an IT security expert company. So what we're going to do is to do a series of seminars, if you like, webinars. They're going to be every 2 months, and I'll be trailering them on my LinkedIn very soon. But they will pick off 10 important things that every single business from sole trader up over to 250 headcount companies. So what I'm saying there is every single one of my clients basically would benefit from listening to the wisdom of a panel of experts. So if that turns out how I think it will be, number one, people will get some free expert advice that they can immediately apply. And number two, hopefully it'll be in a business context, the best collaboration I have ever done.
That's great to hear. And one of the questions I was going to ask you, Jeff, was kind of what are the benefits of collaboration? But you've just really articulated them well there from both, I guess, from a personal point of view, you know, the example of the school. You know, you've hopefully helped some young people as well. And I've done something similar, and it's a really rewarding thing to do. And obviously, you're right, you kind of get a better handle on what younger people are like. But then also the business benefits of it all, you know, I think kind of summed it up perfectly there. So last question on collaboration. For you, Jeff, if you were going to pick an ideal collaboration partner, maybe not so much what do they do, but what are they like? What do they, you know, what, how would you work together?
Mate, I'm going to, if I could sabotage that question.
Go for it.
I'm not so sure on the how I could work with them, but if I could describe the traits that they would display that would make me want to work with them, would that be okay?
That's perfect. That makes sense.
It would probably be someone who is self-employed, and to be self-employed, I believe you have to be quite a driven, focused person. And that would probably be quite evident from my existing interactions with them and my thoughts about them. As part of that, they would also have to be a giver, not a taker. And I think that they would be able to scene set. I'm a very visual person.
Okay.
So even while I've been talking to you, I draw little silly little diagrams and things that are perhaps not for your benefit, but for mine, that help me literally think things through, if you will. And so the ideal partner would probably be someone who could either speak very articulately, but probably would do that and also show me some pictures. And then lastly, I've got an inbuilt radar. I don't know if it's me as a person or it's something I've honed because of my career, where I can spot a liar a mile off. So it goes without saying, but I'd like to say it anyway, I wouldn't want to do any form of personal or business collaboration with anyone where my radar was going off.
Well, no, absolutely. I think most people are probably agree with that, wouldn't they? I suppose like any relationship, again, business or personal, it's not going to work if there's no trust. And I think that runs really perfectly and nicely actually into the next area, which is values. You know, I'm a big believer how important values are. We can all have different personalities and all have different things we do in his life. But generally speaking, people who get on well and work together well have similar values. What values matter to you, Jeff, and what matters in other people?
Someone far cleverer than I once said, he or she is interested in me as a person. If you just hold that thought, occasionally we will all speak to people, and again, just to mix it up a bit, in work and out of work, we will occasionally speak to someone who we know isn't listening to what we're saying. Yes. They're nodding their head at the right moment. They're going, oh, yes, yes, I know what you mean. But their eyes are dead. And so for me, someone who is genuine, and again, how can you tell someone is genuine? Well, until they let you down or let themselves down, you can't really, can you? So somehow the spirit of someone being genuine, that's a really important value to me. And that starts with me. So if I'm genuine, I would expect genuine back.
Well, on that, Jeff, it'd be interesting. Obviously, the last when we're recording this in mid-June 2021 is we're kind of hopefully at the tail end of the pandemic and not seeing many people for in person much in the last year or so. How much more difficult do you think it has been to get the gauge for that when you're essentially mainly on video, I would imagine, for most people, rather than in person?
That's a profound question. And why that's profound for me is it mirrors the journey I've gone on in my job. I consult and advise businesses on their insurance needs. And it's nearly always been done face-to-face. But then one day in March last year, it wasn't. Yep. And then a week and a half later, we all discovered a thing called Zoom. Unless you're called Pete Evans, who was on it a year before.
he was my first experience of Zoom, fully enough. Jeff, probably... Maybe 4 or 5 months before the pandemic, I think it was.
Yeah, we were sitting on the top floor at Northern Affinity. You were holding a hosted seminar session. Pete and I were sitting at the back of the room like naughty schoolboys. He's on a call. There are three faces on the screen. Afterwards, I said to him, what's that? He said, it's called Zoom. You need Zoom, Jeff. Save you hours of your time. Anyway, that's another story, as I say.
Yeah.
Back to what you've said. Mike, mad situation. Imagine me wanting to see clients and feeling safe enough to see them. First thing you've got to tell them, even if it's on Zoom or over the phone, you say to them, I feel safe enough to see you if you feel safe enough for me to come and see you. And clients started to say, round about September, not an important month, but just roughly, with an apologetic tone in their voice that I'll never, ever forget, actually, Jeff, could we do all of that on Zoom?
Okay.
Well, number one, slight disappointment. I like meeting new people, finding out what the backstory is. That's part of my USP. I want to understand why people are doing the job they're doing, why the company that they work in or for or have is where it is and where they think they would like to take that business. I like all of that, and I find out all of that before I even start and talk about the insurance. I think that's the correct way to consult and advise. It's only if you understand the business can you recommend. So many of my competitors don't do that.
Yeah.
But that's what I want, but it's not what I could have. People, as I say, were saying, can I do all of this on Zoom? So if I could introduce a word called selfish, the word selfish is actually fantastic for me. As you know, I want to go and live in Spain.
Yep.
And at some point in the next 2 or 3 years, I'll not bore everyone, but at some point we will go and live in Spain. I can't afford to give up work just yet. Don't really want to either. But I tell you what I can do, as long as my client's voice is, actually, Jeff, can we do this on Zoom? I'm going to go to Spain and I'm going to continue to do my job from Spain on Zoom.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
No, absolutely it does. I mean, obviously it's going to be a different environment, but we've all experienced it. And I've got a bit of a theory, actually, that the last year or so, we've probably got to know people on a more human level than actually we ever did before, because you know, we've sat on Zoom and many people have been in the living room or in a bedroom or a spare room or something like that. And you're essentially inviting people into your home. It's like obviously virtually to an extent, but still you are there. And I think I know I've had conversations on a personal level with more people in the last year than I probably did in the previous 5 years. So I think it can work. It's different, but I think we're getting used to it and it works quite well.
Have a compliment from me. You're a very good listener.
Or a good actor, Jeff, whichever.
Better listener than actor.
Right, so we'll go on to aspiration in a minute, which you've kind of touched on there, but last question on values. I'd be interested in your thought on kind of the business world. I think it's been one of those things in the last few years where it might get called corporate social responsibility or ethics or whatever it might be. It seems to have grown as a thing which is so important in business now. Do you think businesses that don't embrace that side of, should we say, society and issues, whether it's environmental or whatever, might struggle in future years if they don't embrace that?
Again, profound question, interesting question. Yes, I think they're going to get found out. I used to work for a mega-sized company called AXA Insurance UK, and one of the things that they did from CSR was volunteering at places like old people's homes.
Yep.
I've lost both of my parents, but I'm incredibly respectful of old people because they kind of remind me of my mum and dad. So when AXA said, we've got this thing where we're volunteering at old people's homes, I went bananas on it. I did the day that they give you to do it, and then I continued to do it weekly after that for about 3 years. But that's just me. The companies that don't embrace the opportunity to interact with different parts of society. Let's not use the words CSR or corporate social responsibility, but let's do the doing bit, the actual interaction. They're missing a trick. Imagine there's 5 chemical companies, shall I say, or 5 insurance companies, or 5 anything in different industrial estates or sitting around a city or a town. And someone wants to buy something from one of those companies.
Yeah.
In a way, as you look at them, you could perceive them as vanilla. There's 5 of them. Which one do I go to? Well, hang on. The products are nearly the same. The price is nearly the same. What's going to motivate me to go to one rather than the other? Personally speaking, if I was aware through social media, a newspaper, or whatever, that one of those companies was doing something for the benefit of people in that town where they are based, sorry, mate, I'd be spending my money with that company, wouldn't you?
No, absolutely. I think there's obviously so many different areas that people can go down with this route. It might be environmental, it might be helping young people, it might be helping old people, it might be charity, whatever. I mean, businesses can't do everything, we know that. But if they've got, you know, like I said, I hate the phrase corporate social responsibility because it makes it corporate, which kind of it shouldn't be. It's just being doing good and right in both, yes, whether it's local or further afield. And I do believe, you know, businesses that there's a lot of businesses that have, are saying they're doing things, and many are, which is great. And but if they get found out as well not to be doing or not to have the ethics that they claim to have, that'll obviously have the opposite effect. There's been a few in the news recently, haven't there, that's been like that, and it can have serious effects. I think personally, the reason I asked the question, because I think it's going to be such a big thing that comes out of the pandemic that people will take even more notice of these things.
I think you're absolutely right. If I could just put a name out there for no vindictive reason, just get it out there. Boohoo, the online clothing retailer.
Yep.
They were under the spotlight, possibly unfairly, in that they were outsourcing their clothes to be made in Leicester. And there was an allegation that the people making those clothes, often in bad working conditions, weren't being paid at least the minimum wage. And as you'll have seen, Boohoo got slated.
Yep.
Now, again, I'm not a professor of CSR, but picking up on what you've said, mate, if Boohoo had done some CSR, I would imagine their recovery to us recognising them again as a decent outfit would be quicker than if they didn't do it. Now, that's not why they should do it, but I think that it would show a different side of them, or any company in that situation, by the way. It would just show a different side. It would show the human side rather than the financial side.
Oh, absolutely. It's essentially credit in the bank, isn't it? If they've done other good things and, you know, and they hold their hands up and say, look, we've made a mistake. Like you said, in the eyes of people, they are probably more likely to be forgiven and forgotten about. But if that's their whole company ethos, then they're unlikely to be forgotten or forgiven.
Indeed. Well said.
So finally, Jeff, you kind of already mentioned it, which is amazing. I've done this podcast a few times now, and the three things seem to all run into each other really nicely. And we'll talk about aspiration. So tell us, obviously you mentioned Spain. What are your aspirations? Where are you wanting to get to in the next few years?
Okay. So, sorry, this sounds like a bit mad way of telling a tale. So I've got three dogs. The eldest dog's called Meg. She's of indeterminate age, probably between 10 and 12. Got her as a rescue. She's a Staffy Whippet Cross.
Right.
She's going to live another 2 or 3 years. Ish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going anywhere till she's passed away.
Yeah.
The other two dogs are young enough that they could travel out and readjust probably quite well to a stranger environment and a new warmer climate, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's just sort of round the edges. Helen will probably be packing in work back end of this year.
Right.
Which is great. And in 2 or 3 years' time, I want to go out. And it's really interesting. I mentioned a little bit earlier, didn't I, that my colleagues were so kind to come over from Rottenstall to spend a bit of time with me, sitting in a over here, if you like, and I hadn't seen them for 16 months. I don't think I spoke about it on this conversation.
No,
you and I were having a bit of a chat before, weren't we? And Helen came along to see my colleagues in the pub, and she's having one conversation, I'm having the other. So I told you what happened in my conversation where they said, when was the last time we saw you?
Yeah.
And I thought it was 6 months ago and it was actually 16 months. But what I didn't tell you, mate, what was going on in the other conversation?
Right.
It was the ops director of my company saying to Helen, completely without me being involved or in earshot, why don't you pack work in, Helen? And he, pointing at me, he can do his job from Spain. So isn't that nice? Unbeknown to me, someone in my business is shouting out quite loudly to my other half, one, get retired, two, get to Spain, three, take him with you, and four, by the way, by inference, it's not a problem for us if he does his job from Spain.
And that's great. And that goes back to values, doesn't it? The company shows good values that they're not bothered about where you are, quite frankly, as long as you're doing the job, which is great to hear. Why Spain anyway, Jeff? Why, any particular reason?
Good question. When we went, we had a certain budget. And when we were house hunting, which Helen did all online, probably, let me think, 7 nights a week for 3 hours a night online for about 6 months. This house popped up and it's not on the coast. You couldn't get anything for the money on the coast. Or yeah. If you could, it was like an attic room flat with no view. So normally when people go to Malaga, you go, if you're a Brit, you go up the coast or down the coast. This is inland.
Okay.
It's 40 minutes from the airport. So that's nice and handy. And it's in a very rural agricultural area. It's up a hill. Mm-hmm. So it's a mile up a hill. So when you come down the hill, there's 2 restaurants. And then there's nothing for 9 miles.
Right, okay.
Nothing. Not a shop. Nothing.
So it's properly rural then.
It's got fab views. It's got a swimming pool. It's quiet. And most importantly, there are hardly any other Brits there. My idea of hell is going anywhere, not just Spain. Hell's too strong a word. I'm disappointed if I go out in this great big wide world of ours and I bump into another Brit. I obviously haven't been careful enough with my choice of destination.
So you're not going to pitch up in Benidorm then, Jeff?
No. having said that, about 3 or 4 years ago, mate, we were there. And guess why we were there?
Go on.
Karaoke.
Of course. So Jeff's idea in Spain, singing karaoke, that's the aspiration.
For sure. I'm in a BNI group. I don't know if I told you that, but I'm in a BNI group and we meet on a Wednesday morning at 6:30. And when I can get to Spain, I'll be joining that BNI call from on the sun terrace next to the pool.
There's going to be a lot of jealous people if that's the case, Jeff. That's for certain.
We'll see.
Well, I think that's a brilliant place to finish with a podcast. And it's great that, you know, with their aspirations, some people, it feels like a long way away, but for you, it feels like it's close, which is a great to hear. So yeah, I just wanted to thank you for coming on today, Jeff, and taking the time. If people want to contact you, find out more, a little bit more about you, where are the best places to go?
My favorite place, probably LinkedIn, and just look for Jeff Dunn, Jeff, J-E-F-F for Foxtrot, and Dunn, Delta Uniform, November. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, and if for whatever reason you can't find Jeff, you know, contact us at Northern Affinity. We have all his details, so I'd be happy to pass that on. So thank you very much for joining us, Jeff, and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Absolute pleasure, Mike. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for listening to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity podcast. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you about aspirations, about collaboration, and about what your values are. So you can directly contact me. My email address is michael@thenorthernaffinity.co.uk. Or we are all over social media platforms, so you'll be able to find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All you need to do is search for The Northern Affinity, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us. One last ask from me, if you could possibly share this episode, if you've enjoyed it, with people who you may also think would find it useful. If you could rate, review and subscribe as well, we really, really would appreciate that. So again, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Northern Affinity podcast.